Well, good morning, everybody, and thanks for tuning in. Another podcast, Everything Under the Sun. And today is the 26th of March, and wow. Again, another month has just about flown by. And April will be with us before too long. Anyway, get right to the point. I'm having a conversation yesterday with my aunt about Revelation, and if you've heard about I've lost my train of thought, I apologize. This eclipse that is coming across America on the 8th of April. We had one 7 years ago, came one direction of the United States, and then from, I believe it was Oregon, and it exited somewhere around South Carolina, and then this one I think is coming from Maine, maybe a little further over, and making an X across America. I just found it kind of interesting that it was 7 years ago, and it crossed seven cities named Salem when it came across the first time 7 years ago. And then this year, April the 8th, it's supposed to cross seven cities called Nineveh. And in the middle where the X meets, there's a little town called Rapture, Indiana, which I thought was kind of interesting. Now, I'm not saying the rapture is going to happen on April the 8th. I don't know what's going to happen on April the 8th other than this eclipse. But I think it's kind of interesting, you know, that it was seven cities named Salem, and this time it'll be seven cities named Nineveh. And it also passes over the Ark in Kentucky. Now, the Ark is that huge ship they built up there to look like the Ark that Noah built, and passes over the Ark. And just thought it was kind of interesting that in the Bible it talks about the sign of Jonah, and he says it's a wicked nation that asks for signs, and that it was something else, and I just can't remember what I said. But at any rate, it's interesting to me. I mean, I don't believe in coincidence. I don't believe in circumstantial happenings. You know, things just happening randomly. I don't believe in random things. I think things happen for a reason. Excuse me. And so, I just thought that was kind of interesting. And in light of our conversation last night that my aunt and I were having, we were talking about the rapture. And, you know, and of course you've seen the movies, the rapture movies, and, you know, you've seen where, you know, all the babies go missing and the children go missing, and, you know, a child's on a swing and they're swinging, and then, you know, next thing you know, they're gone and the swing is still swinging, to indicate that the rapture had come and the child was taken. But, you know, all my life, I thought that I had seen or read, or at least I believed it, I'd committed it to memory, that children are taken in the rapture. Now, I know you're probably thinking I've lost my mind. Of course children are taken in the rapture. Well, I mean, I want to believe that they are, but honestly, I've seen no scripture that says children get taken in the rapture. Now, before you turn me off, just listen, okay? If you want to become a Christian, if you want to become a believer, you know, it says, what should I do? What did Nicodemus say? He said, you know, to Jesus. And Jesus said, you know, believe in your heart, confess in your mouth that Jesus was raised from the dead. And, you know, if you believe in me, believe also in my Father. I mean, it's all about belief, basically, okay? It's a conscious effort to believe in something that we can't see or feel or touch. I would argue the feeling, but, and there have been some people who have seen Jesus, but I'm just saying for the most part, for most of the population, it is about belief. Okay. So he says, there's no way to the Father but through me. Jesus said that. There's no way to the Father but through me. Okay. I get that. So there's really only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. Now, if God, you know, said that, you know, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, the Lord Savior is risen from the dead, and you shall be saved, you and all of your household. Okay, well, now my friend said this. He said, well, if the parents are saved, then the children go too. And I said, well, okay. And he referred to that verse that said, you know, if, you know, you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, then, you know, you and your whole household shall be saved. I always took that myself, not refuting what he said or disputing what my friend thinks. But I personally always thought that to be, if you have this knowledge of Christ and you take it back to your family and you tell them about it, then they have the ability to be Christians as well, or saved. Okay, so that was the way I always took it. He extrapolated from all that that it meant. I'm sorry, got up early this morning. He thought that it meant basically if I were saved, then my whole household would be saved up to the age of accountability. Well, there is no age of accountability in the Bible. Now, there are Jewish customs where a boy and a girl, when they turn 12 years old, they get a bar mitzvah or a bat mitzvah. Now, I've done that research, and I've seen that. Now, he said there was something in there that talked about, he thought that it talked about an age of before 20, and that there was an age of accountability after that. Now, I don't know. I've never read that. I don't know. I have a clue. But I've heard the age of accountability before. And of course, when you think about it, you know, a child, if the rapture comes and Jesus comes back to get us, then a child goes too. But if you think about it this way, and here again, I'm just spitballing here, but tell me what you think. Well, you can't, but think about this. Are there provisions for salvation? Okay, now, if someone is mentally incapable of making the decision of coming to Christ, say someone is, you know, mentally retarded and they have no concept of who Christ is or what Christ is or the choice of choosing Christ over Satan, then how do they figure into the equation? Okay. Furthermore, what about a child that is born to, you know, to parents that aren't believers? And the rapture comes. My friend believes that the baby stays, or the child stays, because the mom and daddy are not saved. And I said, so if the mama's saved, does the child go? And he said, yes. And I said, what if it's only the father who's saved? He said, he believes the child goes too. And I said, but there's nothing to support that. And then, of course, he points back to that Nicodemus conversation. And I said, well, that, you know, could be. But have we not usurped the free will of man to choose? I'm thinking, you know, he said, well, what would be the just thing? And I said, well, you're asking me to pass judgment. And I will tell you that, you know, if judgment is passed, then let's take a child that is raised in a home where they're beaten and abused and neglected and, you know, sexually and physically abused and emotionally abused. And this little girl grows up to be a miserable child who finds solace in drugs because it takes her away from a reality. She's sleeping with every man she can find to make money so she can get more drugs. And then one day she dies of an overdose. My justice would say that that girl should go straight to the arms of Jesus. She never had a chance. But did I just usurp her will? You know, say she was 25 years old when she died. She was able to make a decision to follow Christ, but she didn't. So does she go straight to hell, you know, or does she go straight to the arms of Jesus? You know, that would be my form of justice, that I think she would definitely go straight to Jesus, because, I mean, here's a child that's been neglected and abused since she was born. And then you're going to tell me that, you know, she's trying to escape her situation and through drugs, and she overdoses one day and dies. No fault of her own, Hell, even if she did kill herself, okay? She wanted to stop the pain of all the abuse and the neglect that she dealt with in her brain. Okay, can you imagine? You know, Jesus saying to this person, sorry, you didn't choose me, go to hell. But then on the same token, a child that has been born into this world and the rapture comes and Jesus takes them, you know, has he not given favor over one to the other? I'm just saying, I'm just throwing things here. I'm just throwing them out there. Don't tune me out here. Just listen to what I'm saying. So does he make provisions for special cases? And if that is the case, then why is it that I have to make the choice? You know, my friend says that, he says that if Christ, you know, when the rapture occurs and, you know, the church is taken out and say Jesus was to take one of the children from someone who's an unbeliever, say the parents are unbelievers, they're atheists, whatever. They don't believe, they haven't made the choice to choose God over Satan. If they don't make that choice and their child goes to heaven during the rapture, my friend believes that it would only harden the heart of the person, of the parent, against God. So why would God do that? And his other argument is that on the flip side of that, the parent would say, well, where's my child gone? And then someone says, hey, your child went up in the rapture. It's with Jesus. And if you want to see him again, you'll become a Christian. Well, there's their incentive to become a Christian, not because they love God, not because they want to be with God, but simply they want to see their child, that desire of a parent who wants to see their kid. I get it. I don't believe, he and I do not see eye to eye on that at all. I want to say that it's black and white, but obviously it can't be, because if that truly is the case, then how would you explain, how would I explain how someone who is mentally incapable of making that decision gets to go to heaven, gets a free get out of hell card free? I don't believe in hell in the first place, but I'm just saying most Christians do. But I'm just saying, how do we explain that? How do we rectify? How do we reconcile? You know? I don't know. I don't have an answer. So if that is the case, it's just like someone said, you know, when Christians are taken up in the rapture, there's a 7-year period before we return again with Christ. Now, during that 7-year period, we are up in heaven with Christ. We are, you know, having the marriage supper of the Lamb. Let's say during the tribulation, there are people who die for Christ, who, you know, give their life, for, you know, because they believe in Christ, so they're killed. We know that happens because Revelation speaks of that. We know that they're under the throne of God. And they cry out every day, oh Lord, how long before you avenge us? So we know they go to heaven, but what about children that died during the tribulation? You know, do they get a free pass to go to heaven? I don't know. And I would like to know. I will do some more research on this, but I just thought I would throw this at you this morning. I know it's kind of heavy this morning, especially if you're getting up as early as I am. And it's about 6:47 now. It was much earlier than, anyway, I got up around 5:30. But at any rate, just something to think about. You know, maybe it'll spur some thought in your mind. And some of you that are researchers will quickly be on this and research it and figure it out. I would like to believe, my personal belief is, yes, I would like to believe that God would, you know, would be kind enough to take people with him who have been tortured, you know, and demented by, you know, their circumstances in life. And I'd like to believe that babies get to go too. I mean, it would be kind of cruel for him to leave babies behind. But I will say this. During the flood, babies were drowned then. You know, there were babies that drowned. There were children that drowned. There were people that drowned in the flood. Now, were the adults considered evil and wicked and they needed to die? Probably. But we don't know that. You know, there had to be children who died too. Was that cruel for God to kill the children who were innocent? And when he did kill them, you know, where did they go? Did they go straight to paradise at that time? I don't know. In the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, there had to be children there. There had to be babies there. I mean, these people were, you know, depraved, I should say. So I'm sure there was a lot of sex going on. So there had to be babies being born. So when he rained down the fire and brimstone from heaven, he killed children there too. Now somebody might argue and say, well, that's semantics. God didn't kill them. The raining fire down came and killed them. But okay, it says in the Bible that he brought that down upon them. So if he brought that down upon them, then he killed them. You know, it's like me shooting a gun. The bullet didn't kill him. Me pulling the trigger killed him. All I'm saying is, just give it some thought. Maybe you'll come up with a better idea than I did. I don't know. Anyway, I wish you the best. Have a great day. Today is Tuesday, so we're just getting into the week. So we'll talk again.